No doubt, most of you felt a little like I felt. You get to the end of Christmas, and after putting so much into it, you get to the end of Christmas Day, and you think, well, that's it. Another year. When Christmas is over, there is so much to do, isn't there? Often there's an awful lot of financial things to do. It's funny, you realise you've overspent at Christmas and you've got to take the whole of January to get back on solid ground again. Of course, there's often the mess to clear up, especially if relatives have been staying at the place. Things have been moved that never get moved, that suddenly you have got moved, and you've got to find where they are and put them back in the right place. And of course, the decorations to take down, most of you probably haven't started that yet. I know of a family who took down their Christmas tree on Christmas night. Well, I thought that was a little bit fast. But I think of all those people put all those lights up. I reckon they have more joy putting them up than what they will do taking them down. Just last Friday, Judy and I were here taking down some of the church decorations. We're going outside, taking down the banner outside. And I thought, gee, a bit of a drudge this, taking things down. What you do when Christmas is over? Because sadly, there's some situations where after Christmas, there's a lot of damaged relationships which need mending or correcting or ignoring whatever happens. Mary, the mother of Jesus, what did she do after Christmas? Well, of course, Christmas wasn't invented, but what did she do after the baby had been born and the shepherds had come? Well, Luke tells us he did a lot of thinking. You know, in that passage, you have the shepherds coming to the stable to see Mary. Can you think in your mind what it would have been like for them? These group of shepherds, no doubt big burly guides, shepherds who smelt like shepherds, bursting into the stable, telling about the angels that they had seen. I love that reading from Luke. I don't know if you noticed, Luke 2 tells you that one angel of the Lord appeared, and the shepherds were terrified. Then a little bit later it said, then the whole host came. I wonder what I felt then. And I can imagine them coming and saying to Mary and Joseph, we've just seen these angels. We have seen the heavenly army of angels. I wonder what that would have looked like. John Palandry would tell you that they definitely had swords. He wanted to have swords in the plane. But it would have been an awesome sight. And I would imagine it would have been hard to shut those shepherds up when they got in their stable as they talked to each other and one added, and did you see this? And did you see that? But especially, they told Mary what they had been told about this little baby that even then was still in that temporary manger or temporary cradle, which was the manger for the baby. And this is what they said. They said, you know what those angels told us? They told us especially this. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. Amazing. He is Christ the Lord, and he's this little baby you've got there, Mary. Now imagine you are Mary. You are a brand new mum. You're probably around about 15, 16, no, probably no older than 17. You've got a brand new baby in your hands. Your mum's not with you. She's miles away if she's still alive. All you've got is Joseph. You know what men are like in those times. You've got this baby, and you've got to discover how you're going to feed this baby. You know what it's like getting used to nursing a baby and changing a baby and all those things. And it seems so helpless, so small, so little. And suddenly in come these burly guys and they say, hey, we've just heard these angels tell us that this baby is the Saviour of the world. This baby is the Christ, is the Lord. Now, of course, Mary had been told a lot about the baby by the angel herself. And Joseph had been told something by the angel. And they got together. They knew this baby was a very special child. But you know, if you check back on the messages that she was given, she wasn't told that much. And it's different, isn't it, to be told something and then suddenly to have a baby there and these shepherds come in and tell you, this is Christ, the Saviour of the world. And you're holding him. And I can think that Mary went, oh, wow. And you know, Mary's reaction is recorded in this chapter in verse 19. But Mary, when the shepherds are gone and everything quietened down, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. That word treasured, well, that's an easy word. It means to store up something which is priceless. To store up something that you want to keep to yourself. To store up something that you don't want anyone else to have hold of. It's yours. That can happen with thoughts, doesn't it? If you've got thoughts like that, you've got things in your mind, dreams that you treasured up in your heart, you don't want to tell them anyone because they might say, oh, I never do this or never do that or cast doubts on them. But you know, they're there. You've treasured them. To ponder means to meditate upon these things. But not just meditate, but to think strongly about them. To think about them night and day. To go round your mind, round and round and round. And heart, well, that emphasises how deep her thoughts went. After the night, or after the time that Jesus was born, let me tell you this, Mary did a lot of thinking. When Christmas was over for Mary, she thought, and thought, and thought. She did a lot of thinking. What about us? How deep is our thinking about Christ and us after Christmas? We just celebrated Christmas. We thought about what it means. But are we thinking about it now? Are we prepared to commit ourselves to doing some deep thinking about Christ and me, Christ and you, now Christmas is over? Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that there are four P's that you can ponder now Christmas is over. Four P's I'd like to give to you. The first one is the power of Christmas. What I mean by that is the power of this Christmas for you. Was this Christmas at any point powerful for you? I hope it was. The power connected with the thought or feeling that touched you this Christmas more than anything else. It might have been something you never thought about out of the Christmas story before. It might have been something you knew so well, but it came home to you in new clarity, new meaning, new understanding. It might have been something that was said. You heard it in a sermon, or on the radio, or the TV. But you heard it, and it struck you. Someone might have told you in conversations. It might have been something that was written. Christmas cards these days are wonderful, aren't they? You know, the religious ones I'm talking about. They have such good words in. I never open a Christmas card without checking out what the words are. Because that says something to me from that person. And you look for Christmas cards in special words. It may be something that was written that you read and you thought, gee, that's a mighty about Christmas. That's powerful about Christmas. It might have been something you felt in a situation where suddenly you were overpowered with the wonder or the joy or the intention, whatever it was, of Christmas. It may have been something you saw, even in the play we had the other week. It was something that you know now, as you look back on it, as you think about it, was God touching your heart with his power, changing your thinking, encouraging your love, calling forth your obedience. I can personally look back on two occasions this Christmas when that happened to me. The first was on the Sunday of the 23rd, I was preaching, and I guess it happened the week before, preaching about Isaiah 40. And suddenly it gripped me how in Isaiah 40 you have this amazing picture of God and the statement that he would be the shepherd who would tend his sheep and carry his lambs in his arms. You know, that really hit me. That was powerful for me. To imagine this great, powerful God. And then as I thought of that little video we had on Christmas Day, where it said, you know, unto you is born one who is mighty God. That struck me. That was one thing. And the other thing was something I felt. And it was in the play. And because Stephen wasn't available, and because Tom Woolsey went to America, we had to find other people, and I had to play Mordecai. And playing Mordecai was an experience for me anyhow. But it was at the end, as we talked about this tremendous Christmas message, the message of God reaching out to people because he loves them. As we came to the end of it, Roger, in his wonderful line, said, "I'm so excited about this. I've got to go and tell Mordecai and the other angels." You know what? I suddenly felt right then, actually in the rehearsal when it first happened, just that wonderful excitement that the angels felt because Christ had come in the world. That, for me, was the power of Christmas. Did you have an experience like that? I hope you did. I hope you can think back now, perhaps, on it. Anyone here, kind of straight to your mind, said, "Yeah, I had a powerful experience this Christmas. I don't want to forget." Anyway, just speak out if you did. If you don't, it doesn't really worry me too much. Keith, did you put your hand up? Are you going to tell us what it was?
Based on John chapter 1. Yep. As I realised who this baby was.
Great, that's the type of thing. Anybody else? Kind of like a powerful kind of understanding that gripped you this Christmas. Just think about it. Because I want you to go home and think about that. And if you did, if something like that, if you sense God touching your spirit with power this Christmas, then don't lose it. Write it down in a diary or a journal or a calendar. Or just make sure it's cemented in your head. So that such a moment, such a message, such a connection that you had would never be forgotten. Think about it. Don't lose it. The other thing I thought of is the purpose of Christmas. And not just the purpose of Christmas for the world, but the purpose of Christmas for you. For you. You know, as you move on from this Christmas into a new year, has God done something in your life again this Christmas to make you ready for the new year? What's the purpose of Christmas for you concerning what now you will do with your life in the days that God will give you in 2013? No doubt it was the purpose of the birth of Jesus that exercised Mary's mind and heart so much. It must have been. To think she had the Saviour here. And he had a purpose straight away. But you know, God still has a purpose for each of us too. And at Christmas, when we focus on his sacrificial love for us, he delights to give us a new sense of purpose in our mission for him. If he doesn't, then it's somehow been wasted a little bit for you and me, isn't it? The grandeur, the wonder of Christmas is your purpose. You go into the new year. What do you take out of Christmas? Think about your purpose. And then I think about the potential of Christmas. You know, for Mary, the potential of Christmas was immense. Here she had the Saviour of the world, the Christ, the Lord, in her hands. And she was to be an agent of that potential for the rest of her life. Imagine that. What a responsibility. What a power God would give her to do it. And she stuck with it right through. But you know, for the world, the potential of the Christ of Christmas is still as great. The potential of the Christ of Christmas is still as great for your friends, your loved ones, your family, the people you will meet. The potential is great, and you are an agent for it as much as Mary was. She had to carry the baby. She had to help him to grow. She had to one day give him over, give him up. She had to be there for him, though, all the time, and was there at the cross and there at the grave. But you have got to be the agent for the gospel. That's you. That's your potential this year, 2013. That's what Christmas means for you. You have been given the potential because you believe to go out there and be the agent for Christ who is born
of the world. How are you doing? Think about that. That's another thing you should be thinking about, pondering, store up in your heart and thinking about after Christmas. Because you see, you know the potential of Christmas. How can you make that known to others? And finally, the practicality of Christmas. You ever wonder what the spirit of Christmas is for the Christian? And what makes it different, perhaps, to others? What's the spirit of Christmas for Christians? Give me some ideas. What is the spirit of Christmas for the Christian?
Peace.
Peace? Yeah. Love.
I love.
Yeah.
Joy.
Joy.
Hope.
Hope.
Giving.
New life. All those things. You know, the spirit of Christmas for the Christian is everything that comes from the Christ. And it is seen in him. It's the spirit of love, yes. It's the spirit of giving, of humility, of sacrifice, of caring. And these things, of course, should not stop at Christmas, should they? They should be a practical part of the rest of our lives. What will you do to extend the spirit of Christmas as a Christian? What practical steps could you make to make sure that happens not just at Christmas, but through the whole year? You could send cards. Not Christmas cards, but other cards. You know, I don't know if you do it, but often at Christmas, when you send a card to someone, you pick a card that will bless them. And often you put words on them, don't you? Which says something special. Can't you do that through the year? On birthdays? Or when they're sick? Make sure that you commit yourself there. I will send birthday cards to those. And perhaps put on it something about, I'm praying for you on this, your special day. I'm encouraging you. Because I'm also encouraged by my God. It's something that extends the practicality of Christmas. Pray for the opportunity for random acts of kindness. I find that we're much more able to do random acts of kindness at Christmas. Why? We're Christians. We have the spirit of Christmas all the year. We should be praying for those opportunities to reach out to the poor and to the homeless, but also to those in need, that with love and kindness. Dedicate yourself to looking at people differently because of the way God looked at this world in love and came at Christmas to save us. That's a big thing, isn't it? I think back today to the story of the woman that I told on Christmas Day because it really touched me. A woman in the restaurant with a baby who was hugged by that tramp. Wasn't her delight, wasn't what she wanted. But you know, as she did that, as that came to the end of that story, she recognized that God had given his son to her, or to humanity, with all our sinfulness, for us to hold. He'd lent him to us, in a sense. And she realized how hesitant she had been. And it touched her deeply because she thought of her life. And how she needs to look at people differently because of the way Christ had looked at her. How God had looked at her, as shown in the Christmas story. And by that experience, her outlook was changed. She acknowledged her need to show the love behind Christmas to all. And she set out to do so. That said something to me so much about Christmas. How Christmas impacted her. How does Christmas impact me? Do I look at people differently because of Christmas? Christmas is over, but never over for us. For we do Christmas all the time. Mary pondered over these things. She thought about the power, the purpose, the potential, the practicality. What about us? Can we ponder those things and do something for God, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year, that we take Christmas with us into 2013 and join it with Easter. And we have a tremendous gospel to proclaim.